I'm so happy this morning. Do you want to know why? Because I get to see you. Hey, let's stand, and we're going to just read some scriptures. Behold the word of the living God. Notice the words, the will of God today as we read Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6, 9 and 10. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and notice this word, perfect will." Ephesians 5:15 through 17, "Be very careful then how you should live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." Have you noticed? "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." And here's a great teaching of Jesus. Luke 10. "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Few things are needed. Or indeed, only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her.'" Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. We quiet our hearts before the living God. And Lord, we come before you today as those on a journey through this thing called life that you've made. Father, we ask that you would send your Spirit upon us today as we assemble as brothers and sisters in Christ, here in person and online. We ask, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us in a very special way this morning, that the Spirit of God would help us to discern the will of God for our lives. We pray, Lord God, that you would just bless this time now. Thank you for your presence being here with us today. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those who love the Lord would say, amen. And can we just give God a big yay right now? Isn't it great just to be together again? I don't know about you, but I've been going stir crazy. So last Sunday, I have a confession to make. I don't know if I should say this live, but I will. So last Sunday, it was 104 degrees outside. Did you all know that? 27 people came, and we're going to go into the breezeway and sit in the breezeway. And there wasn't much breeze last Sunday. And I just told them to come in the church. We had air conditioning going on in here, and so we deputized them all as a security team. I guess we could have made them the choir. That would have been more godly, you know, and we just spread out, and it was just good to be with people. I'm glad that we can assemble here today. If you need some good news, I want to give you some good news. Here's some good news, is that Josh and Christine's little baby was born, Elizabeth. So check this out. Is that awesome? This little bundle of joy, 7 pounds, 3 ounces. She's pretty, she's about normal height. I think ours was 20. Jonathan was 20 inches, right, babe? Oh, well, anyway, it was. This is cool. So Josh looks like he was leading worship today, but he was sleeping the whole time he was up here. This is good news. This is good news. So can we give a big congratulations to the Arnaldo family on a little girl? On a little girl. We couldn't get them. We tried to get a little girl. We just couldn't figure out how to do it. So whatever you guys did, praise the Lord. Two boys and a little girl. Well done. So we're excited for you, and that's pretty awesome. I want to tell you a story that radically deepened my heart. In the year of 2006, Pastor Frank went to Israel, and I led a group of people, and Sean Merritt was with me. And hopefully we get to go again. And it was a really special trip. We walk in the land of Jesus. We do our best. We don't want to be political. We're there. It's a biblical study tour. Walk in the land of Jesus. And when we got to Jerusalem, our Messianic Jewish guide, Sarah, she was excited. She says, if we could get to Jerusalem early enough, maybe you guys would like to come to my church for our night service. And we made it. And her church was called the King of Kings Church. It's a Messianic Jewish congregation. It's the first time I ever had to go through a metal detector to come into a church with a girl with high heels on and a machine gun at the front door, smiling. Welcome. That was the welcome. It was just weird. I remember hearing God of Wonders in Hebrew with English subtitles. Really cool. But I remember the rabbi came up to speak, a Messianic rabbi, and he told the congregation, he talked about Mary and Martha. And his sermon that day, it's funny because I can still remember this message he gave in 2006. He said, I just feel like something bad is about to happen. And I just feel like we need to be a Mary and draw as close as we possibly can to Jesus, Yeshua. Because no matter what happens, if we stay close to Yeshua, we'll be fine. And his whole message, and I still remember him saying this. And sure enough, that summer a war broke out on the northern border with Lebanon, and there was war and something bad happened. And I've been thinking about him because all this year I have been drawn to this teaching of Jesus with Martha and Mary. If there was ever a time for you, if there was ever a time for me to draw really close to Jesus, it's now, right? Wouldn't you agree? With a pandemic, obviously, the economy that is the aftermath of this pandemic. We have race issues in our country. We have peaceful protests mixed with anarchy. And to stir in the pot in the midst of an election year, it's the perfect storm. And then add fires for us in California. These are weird times. If there was ever a time that you needed to draw near to Jesus, that I needed to draw near to Jesus, if there's ever a time to be a Mary, it's now. Get as close as you can. Get as close as you can to the one who walks on water. You need to really get close to the one who raises the dead. You need to get as close as you possibly can to the one who was and who is and who is to come. If there's ever a time for you, if there's ever a time for me to draw near to Jesus, people, it's now. Do I hear an amen? Right? It says in the book of James, Jesus' brother, James, he says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. This is a time to make that effort to draw near to the Lord. And this is our goal, by the way, for the next 12 weeks. As a church, as a Jesus community, starting this week, we're entering into a new journey called Experiencing God by Henry Blackaby. Experiencing God, knowing and doing the will of God. This book was written to help us all draw near to God. There's a 20-minute devotional each day for 5 days a week. You fill in the blanks. There's scripture memorization you get to do. It has amazing insights. I'm doing it. My wife and I are redoing it again, and we're looking at each other going, this is so good. It leaves you, every time you do this, it leaves you pondering or thinking through a topic of that day. It's a blessing. For many people in our church, God has used this journey in their lives as a life-changing tool for many people in their walk with God. And people are going to be sharing testimonies throughout these 12 weeks of how God has used it and is using it. It's just a tool. God is the person that causes the growth. That's not perfect. There's things in there I go, maybe not, you know. I mean, that's okay. Test all things. Hold on to what is good and toss out what you... But it's a good journey, and we encourage you all to be a part of it. The youth are going through it. The children are going through it. Small groups are going to be happening starting this week. And if you're not in a small group, I want to encourage you. You know, there's something about reading God's Word and then sharing it in community. And I realize that the world is weird, but we've been doing Zoom small groups for a lot of us. And if you're not in a small group and you want to, you got to get this book. If you haven't got it yet, you need to get it. And we have all the information for you. Get on Amazon. It's $15, right? You'll have it in 2 days. There's 5 quiet times a week. Get this thing. And if you are not in a Zoom growth group, Pastor Vince and I and Pastor Graham invite you to join our Zoom growth group that we're going to be doing on Friday nights. And there's a code that we have that you can just, we'd love to hear what you're thinking. We'll share with you what God's been speaking to us going through it. It's going to be cool stuff. So I want you to prepare your heart for this. It's a tool that God's going to be using in our lives to draw closer to the Lord. This begins now. It'll end at the end of November. By the time we're done with this, elections will be done. Thanksgiving will be done. We'll be heading into Christmas. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. Please don't not do this. You're going to be blessed. And even, Father, I will lift before you the journey that we're about to start as a church. God, we're going to be starting at the same starting line. And we're going to be studying the same material. We're going to be reading and memorizing the same scriptures. Our thought, our journey of thought will be all on the same page for the next 12 weeks. We ask God that, Lord, you would use this time now to draw all of us closer to you in this season that we're in. Because we need you, Jesus. We want to be the Mary. We don't want to be distracted, but we want to get as close to you as we can. So, Lord, we pray for this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Do I hear an amen? Amen? Ah, a little feedback. I've been missing you guys big time. The first chapter you're going to be reading this week is called God's Will and Your Life. God's Will and Your Life. Do you have a will? Have you ever seen a strong-willed child? Very interesting. Where do we get our wills? We get our wills because we're made in the image of God. God has a will. God is the cause. We are the effect. You look at the stars in the sky, you go, who made that? God made that. God is real. God is a being. God is divine personality. God is a divine being. The reason why you have a personality is because you're made in God's image. God is a divine being and God has a will. But what is God's will on earth? Before we ask the question, what's God's will for my life, we should probably ask the big question, well, what is God's will? Have you ever thought about that? Can I have a little... What do you think is God's will? What's God's big will on earth? That no one should perish. It's God's will for none to perish and all to come to eternal life. That's found in the book... That's Peter. Say that again? So his will for us is to follow his son. What is God's big will on earth? You know, we've actually put his will in the banners on the walls of our church. Starting in the book of Genesis, God tells Abraham that from your seed one will be born that will bless all the nations of the world. That God's will is to send somebody into the world to bless all people. And that's in the very first book of the Bible. And in the last book of the Bible, we read of who this person is. And the angels sing of who this person is. This person, the Lamb of God, who comes and takes away the sins of the world. And with his blood, he purchased for God people from every nation, tribe, and tongue to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God. It's the bookends of the Bible. God's big picture is to redeem humanity. God's will on earth, in the big scheme of things, is to redeem lost humanity, for God so loves the world, he gives his only begotten son. This is the big one that's on God's heart, right? If you're going to take notes with me this morning, I want you to take this first note, and it's very basic, and it's fun because even as I say this, a big part of God's will on earth is to redeem lost humanity. God has other things that are even, that are big. I mean, in the kingdom of darkness, in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. I mean, but for you and I just want you to put it here. Just, it's a basic thought, but it's so important that we start here. Write this down. God's will on earth is to redeem lost humanity. That's the big picture. Have you ever heard this quote before? If God had perceived that our greatest need was economic, He would have sent us an economist. If God had perceived that our greatest need was entertainment, He would have sent us a comedian or an artist. If God had perceived that our greatest need was political stability, He would have sent us a politician. If He had perceived that our greatest need was health, He would have sent us a doctor. But he perceived that our greatest need involves our sin, our alienation from Him, our profound rebellion, our death, and thus He sent us a Savior. The world needs a Savior. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. Before you ask, what is God's will for my life, we have to ask a big question. Well, what is God's will? And then, what is God's will now for my life? It trickles down from the macro to the micro, right? In economics, it comes in deeper. We need to focus on what is God's will first before we can begin to ask, well, what's God's will for me personally? How does God reveal His word to us? How does God reveal His will to us? Right? Take this note. God reveals His will to us in His Word. Two basics today. But sometimes if we forget this, we get lost. How does God reveal His will to us? Micro and macro per se. It's in His Word. Joshua 1:8. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Keep this book of the law always on your... Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Finding God's will starts with His Word, right? 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origins in human will. Well, if it's not in human will, then whose will is it? But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Spirit. And that's why the Bible can predict the prophecies and they come true. There's no way that man could... The Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, written in Micah 5:2. 500 years for Jesus. All the prophecies that come through, God fulfills them. He's proving. This is of God's... Isaiah 53, the Messiah will be scourged and flogged and pierced and a grave signed with the wicked men. And yet, how does Isaiah do Isaiah 53? He's just the man, but it's God's data. Psalm 119. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to Your word. I seek You with all my heart. Do not let me stray from Your commands. I have hidden Your word in my heart that I might not sin against You. Psalm 119. Oh, how I love Your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and makes me wiser than my enemies. Wow, amen to that. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on Your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey Your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path. Well, how did You do that? So that I might obey Your word. I have not departed from Your laws, for You Yourself have taught me. Isn't it neat how God teaches us in His word? How sweet are Your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from Your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp for my feet, and a light for my path, the Word of God. Before we ask, what is God's will for your life? You need to know what God's will is first, and the way you discover what God's will is by reading and understanding God's Word. Theologians call this specific revelation. There's general revelation that God has revealed Himself to us by looking at the stars in the sky. You see the birth of a baby. and you say, that's a miracle. It's general revelation. But then there's specific revelation. God specifically gives us information about Himself and His will for the earth in His Word. It can never be God's will for me to do something that He's clearly told me not to do in His Word. I want to say this. It's very important that we all always remember this. God does not speak out of both sides of His mouth. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus has forgiven you. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. But then God says, but it's okay for you to stay bitter. Let all bitterness and wrath depart from you, but it's my will for you. You keep your bitterness. I command people to forgive one another, but not you. You just stay not forgiving people. No, it can never be God's will in your life to go against something He's clearly said is not right. God doesn't speak out of both sides of His mouth. So today is the start of football season, and here is my favorite football player, Doug Smith. Doug Smith was the center for the Los Angeles Rams for 14 years. And he's a friend of mine. I just talked with him this week. When Sin and I were first married, him and Debbie were ones that really mentored us in many ways in our young marriage. And we were doing Bible studies at Doug Smith's house on Friday nights. He'd be playing football, and it was so cool to... This guy is a disciple of Jesus. And I remember, I'll never forget this, because the topic of God's will came up as he... And another NFL player that was on another team, he was a center on another team, they were in the cart in front of us. We were playing golf, and Steve Gifford, my buddy and me, were in the back. We were playing foursome. And I remember watching this guy's huge. He's huge. When Jonathan was born and we came over to his house as our little baby, he picked him up like a football. He could handle him. It was called meekness. He could crush my son, but strength restrained. Blessed are the meek. Doug, godly man, loves the Lord. And I remember Doug screaming in the cart in front of us, that is not God's will. That is not God's will. And I'm like, what the heck's going on up there? See, the guy that Doug was riding with, his buddy, was having an affair on his wife. He had been lying to his wife, deceiving his wife and their two kids, and all this time he's been having an affair with this other girl. And this guy was telling Doug that this was God's will for his life, because with his girlfriend, they're reading the Bible together. With his girlfriend, they're praying together, and they go to church. And this guy's trying to tell my friend Doug that this is God's will for his life. And Doug was screaming, this is not God's will for your life. It is not God's will for you to lie and to cheat and to steal and to commit adultery. This is not God's voice saying, well, it's okay for you. No way. God's will for the world is revealed in His Word. God's will for us is revealed in His Word. And God's will is fixed. God doesn't talk out of both sides of His mouth, and many people think He does, that He makes exceptions for them. And they can get spun off into this. I want you to take this note with me this morning. It could never be God's will for me to do something that He has clearly told me not to do in His Word. Write that down. It could never be God's will for me to do something that He's clearly told me not to do in His Word. We want to talk about God's will for your life? Well, you need to first figure out what is God's will in general, and how do we figure that out? God reveals His will through His Word. And it could never be God's will to go against what He's written in His Word. God's Word is God's voice, and God's voice is God's Word. And God does not change. A few weeks ago, I was talking with another buddy of mine who lives out of state. He's a good friend of mine. And he was really down. And he was hurting pretty bad. My buddy had married into this family, and as he married into this family, he adopted this little boy that was 10 years old at the time. He adopted this kid and raised this kid as his own, paid for his college, and all this, that. And now this kid's like 30 years old. He's no longer a kid. And my buddy called me, and I've never heard him choked up to a point where he almost is in tears. He said, Frank, I had one of the worst conversations of my life just recently. His stepson had told him that if you don't vote the way I want you to, I want nothing to do with you. And you're evil. As they were talking about politics in America. His stepson informed his father, stepdad, that if his father doesn't vote the same way that he's going to vote in this election, that he never wants to talk to his stepdad again, and if you don't vote the way I think you should, you're actually evil. And he quoted, and now his son's not a Christian, but his son threw out Jesus' words, if you're not for me, you're against me. And my friend called me, and he told his son these words. Son, I and my conscience cannot vote for a person who advocates the murder of children up to the point of their birth. I, as a child of God, could not stand before the Lord and vote for a candidate who advocates that a child can be murdered up to the point of its birth in late-term abortion. I cannot do that and will not do that. And his son said, well, then we're done. Isn't this sick that this is what's... Tough time. Who is the authority of his son's belief system? His son informs his stepdad that I am the holder of what is right and true and good, and if you don't obey and do what I need you to do, you're evil. Who is the authority of his son's belief system? His son is. I hold truth. Right? Himself. To a follower of Jesus, these scriptures are the authority of all Christian life and conduct. God reveals himself, his thoughts, and his will for our lives in his word. Murder of unborn children, the sanctity of life, lying, stealing, social justice, they're all in the scriptures. As followers of Jesus, we need to vote kingdom values. And the only way to know kingdom values is to know his word. Take notes with me this morning. Write this one down. This is true. The word of God is his source of authority for our lives. You're not the authority of your belief. God is. You're not the cause. You're the effect. He's the creator. You're the created. The Word of God is his source of authority for our lives. God's Word is God's voice. God's voice is God's Word. To know the will of God, you need to know his Word, the Scriptures. And then we journey in to life. Does this book say the name of the college that God wanted me to go to? Does this book say the name of the job that God wanted for me? Does this book say the name of the person that God wanted me to marry? Answer? My name's not even in here. Unless you look at frankincense and myrrh, maybe. Right? You know, in economics, there's macro and micro. You know, when you look at the big picture, what is God's will? You can see God's will. But then the micro starts to come in. How does God's will happen within my life? You're going to read about this week in Experiencing God. You're going to read a great analogy of God being the way. The way. The way. When I was a little boy, I remember my dad, when we would go down off Big Bear into the mountain, down into L.A., he had a thing called a Thomas Guide. Does anyone remember one of these? Do you remember the Thomas Guide? This was horrible. So if you were driving down into an area, you have no idea where you're going. They had detailed maps that would get down to the very streets and turn right and turn left. And this is how you navigated a long time ago. When you were driving in an area of uncharted waters, where do I go? And I remember my dad would have these Thomas guides out. And it's pretty tough to be driving and reading, and you'd stop and you'd look and say, okay, I'm on this street. Okay, if I go up here, it was a map. And then great technology happens. Do you remember having one of these on your car? Wasn't this a wonderful invention? The Garmin. And now all of a sudden the Thomas guy kind of disappeared. And now the thing, but what happens to you when the GPS goes out? You're done. You're done. And you're driving along and all of a sudden, no signal. Do I turn right? Do I turn left? Where do I go? The best, in uncharted waters, my brothers and sisters, the best way to get to your destination is to have someone in the car with you that knows the way. Turn right here. Turn left here. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus doesn't say, I will show you the way. Jesus doesn't say, I will give you a map. Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus knows the way. Jesus is the way of life. Truth is not just a concept. Truth is a person. Jesus did not say, I will teach you the truth. He said, I am the truth. When God gives you eternal life, He gives you Himself. Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. Eternal life comes in a person. When God gives you truth, He gives you Himself. When God gives you life, He gives you Himself, eternal life. When God gives you a way, the way of life, He gives you Himself. And you'll read about this. Jesus sits with us in the car, in the journey of life, in uncharted waters. And Jesus is the way. He knows where He's going. Following God is a personal relationship. Jesus says these incredible words, unless one is born of spirit, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There's something so amazing within Christianity where it's not just cognitive thought and truth, but it's an engagement into an experience, a relationship with God. The Bible says that after you hear the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in the Holy Spirit that was promised to you from long ago. Jesus says to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't inherit the kingdom of God. God's Spirit and your spirit unite and you become one. And it becomes this relationship with God. When someone's sitting in the car with you, they know where they're going, you listen to them. And they take you on the journey of life. He is the way. Listen to this verse. I love this verse. Colossians 1:9. For this reason, Paul says, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. He found out that these persons became Christians. We continually ask God to fill you with knowledge of His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. The Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome. He hears about this area that accepted Jesus, and he writes him this letter, and he says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you." They're excited to hear about this, right? "We continually ask God to fill you with knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit brings." The Holy Spirit brings revelation through the Word of God and just through the Spirit of God. Revelation and insights as we walk with Jesus. Daily following Jesus, we find out His will for our lives. And we walk in the Spirit. And this is the amazing supernatural part of being a Christian. We walk in the Spirit. And it's really fun, to be honest. You're going to take notes with me. Here's note number 5. God reveals His will for your life as you walk with Him in a love relationship. God reveals His will for your life as you walk with Him in a love relationship. And He uses this word a lot, a love relationship. I think sometimes people are like, that's just too weird. I don't like this. God wants me to walk in a love relationship with Him. But it's theologically true. God loves you more than you love yourself. God's love for you has never been greater than it is today. When God looks on you, He looks on you with eyes of love. And when you respond to that and you walk in a love relationship, God reveals His will for your life. We experience God every time we read His Word. Did you know that? We experience God every time we walk in a love relationship with Him on this journey called life. And it's so cool. This week, we were in a core staff meeting this week. We're out in the foyer talking. We're just talking about how it's been so wild in our walks with God and see how God has just revealed things in our lives. And Fina says, "You just know when God speaks to you." She goes, "There's just times when you just know." She was actually sharing how God used this journey experiencing God for her to meet her husband. Maybe she'll share that story sometime. How do we know God's will? We know God's will in His Word, and we can know God's specific will for our lives as we walk in a love relationship with Him. And as we walk in a love relationship with God, as the Spirit of the living God dwells within us, we begin experiencing things of the Lord, and you just look back and say, you just know that God is at work. And it's really cool. You learn to walk with Jesus and you see Him guide and move throughout your life. It's very cool. Last note today. Last note. Take this note down. God's will for our lives is often confirmed in circumstances, in godly counsel. And Pastor Graham gave me this one. In the inner witness of the Spirit, the inner witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God's will for our lives, personal will, is often confirmed in circumstances. This last week, it's probably about a couple months ago, we've been purging at our house. Our boys that are small are now gone away, and we had this keyboard for our kids. And Cinda's just going, we need to get rid of this stuff, you know. And so we put it on, was it Craigslist? Is that what we did that one? Facebook Marketplace. And we're like, hey, let's see if we get $80 for this keyboard. I think that's what it was, something like that. And so we're like, yeah, let's just get rid of this thing. Maybe someone will give us some money for it. And sure enough, this person, I want that keyboard. That's what I want. Okay, great. Come over. Guy comes over to our house. His name is Jose. Jesus. His name is Jesus. He comes to our house. His name is Jesus. And my wife says, "I like your name. Your name is the name of our Savior." And the guy says, "Me too." And he has his mask on, we're trying to wear, you know, and he begins telling us the story of him being in a gang in L.A. and doing some really bad things in his life, and him being in jail, and him going before a judge and realizing they're going to throw away the key, And his grandma always told him about Jesus. And this guy begins telling us his story, how he was begging that God would give him another chance at life. And when he was in the courtroom, the judge looked at him and the judge said, "For some reason, I just have a feeling that your life's about to change. And I just have this feeling that I'm supposed to go easy on you. I should be throwing the book at you, but I'm not going to. I'm going to give you one more chance at life." And he just knew that was the Lord. This kid gave his life to Jesus walking out of the courtroom. He now lives down in Orange County and he wants to help with the worship team and the lead in worship at his church. And so he needed this keyboard. And then I tell him I'm a pastor. And he went, "Oh." And then for the next 25 minutes, we talk about Jesus right out in the walkway. Guess how much we got for that keyboard? Nothing. You know, it's so fun to live life like this. We went to bed that night and that was God. That was God. You know, I remember, this was such a defining moment for me. I was once David Chisholm, and Cinda was Lauren here. Well, I was the young youth pastor here at Woodbridge Community Church. Came here in 1992, I think. June 8th, 1990, I became the youth pastor here. And at that time, Cinda and I had one child, and we had just signed a lease at an apartment down in Mission Viejo. And as soon as I knew that God was calling me to be the youth pastor here, I'm like, I'd like to live in the city where these kids are. But I've signed a lease. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And I said, I'm going to go up there and ask if they'll let us out of our lease at this apartment. And I went up there and told these guys, "Hey man, I just graduated college. I know I just signed a lease. I just got a job in Irvine. Is there any way I can let you?" "No, you're not. No, we're not letting you out of this lease. If you leave this lease, you're going to lose this and you lose that." And I'm like, "I just wanted to ask. It's okay." You know, and then as I'm walking out the door, this lady says, "Hey, are you an apartment blank blank?" I said, "Yes." She says, "We just had someone come and ask for an apartment just like the one you have. If you're willing to get out by tomorrow or the next day, we'll let you out of your lease." Cindy says, "They're not letting you out." I walk back. I said, "Babe, we're moving." It is so fun to watch God reveal his life to you as you walk in a personal relationship with Jesus. It is so fun to watch the Lord reveal his will in your life as you journey with him each day. Circumstances. Godly counsel. You want to know how God, you know, if you ever want to read Exodus 18, it's a great example of Moses and his father-in-law Jethro. And God used Jethro to speak into Moses' life. You know, God puts people in your life to help you discern God's will for your life. It's important to seek out godly counsel in your life. I went on an 18-month fast from girls and dating before I met Cinda when I was at Biola. And because I just wanted to date Jesus and I needed to get my life just right. Just him and me. I'm just going to date the Lord. But all the time through, I said, "God, if you got any cute girls, someone here for me at Biola, let me know, you know," type thing. And it was so cool, our story, how we met. But I remember going to my professor, Dr. Wilkins, I surfed with him. I said, "Wilk," I remember walking into his office and I threw my hands in the air. I said, "Wilk, I'm in love." He says, "Great, sit down." And he gave me a piece of advice that I've given ever since. He said, "Dating is like a ladder." He says, "Maybe God will put you on the ladder of a dating relationship and you might move up that ladder, down that ladder." He says, it takes two people to move up and down. He says, "You might get off this ladder of this relationship, and then you go to another ladder." He says, "And you're a disciple." He kept telling me this. So if God has you dating this girl, learn and grow. Be a disciple. Learn about God. Learn about you. Learn about girls, right? And if God takes you to the top of it, it'll be marriage. And if not, he gets you off. But no matter what, you're on the journey. Good advice. Good advice. I've given that to hundreds of students over the years. You're going to get in a dating relationship, give it to Jesus and say, "I want to learn in this. God, teach me in this relationship." You'll move us up the ladder, down the ladder. Get us off the ladder. Well, I'll be on another relationship. God speaks through godly people. God speaks through circumstances. God will reveal His will for your life very specifically as you walk in a love relationship with Jesus. God will reveal His will for your life through circumstances, through people, and through the inner witness of the Spirit, which I call peace. Peace. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? There's something about the inner witness of the Spirit that just brings peace. How many times have you seen, you look at something in your journey in life and you see this, but there's just not an inner peace. Something's just not right. And you just have to keep praying for that peace of the Lord to come. The peace of Christ. There's that inner witness of the Spirit in the life of a person. I always treasured this story because there was a family in our church years ago, Dave and Nancy. Dave and Nancy grew up in the Philippines at Wycliffe. At Wycliffe, their parents are Wycliffe Bible translators. They grew up in the Philippines at Faith Academy. Dave became a very successful engineering IT person here in California. They were living the American dream, and all of a sudden he just felt God's calling that he wanted to go back and be a missionary in the Philippines. And he tells his wife, Nancy, I feel like God's calling us to go back to the Philippines to be a missionary in the Philippines. And Nancy said, no way. No way. I do not want to go back. Nancy, they would tell us about, I mean, there's some big bugs and stuff. I mean, it's just. And Dave just said, well, if God's calling me to do this, He's going to have to give my wife peace. And pretty soon Nancy was saying, are you praying that God will change my mind? And he says, yes. And she says, stop it. Stop it. They've been on the mission field in the Philippines now for 25 some years. There was a day when she just felt God just give her that peace. That inner witness of the Holy Spirit. God's will. God's will for my life. God exists. God is real. We don't create Him in our image. We've been made in His. And God has spoken and God has revealed Himself to us in the great mystery. God reveals His will to us in His Word. God gives His will to us as we walk in a love relationship with Him and we walk in the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We begin to see God speaking into our lives through the Word of God. Every time you open God's Word and read it, you're experiencing God. But when you're walking with God, you're experiencing God as He's opening doors and closing doors and doing things, and He's revealing Himself to you. God will speak into your life in so many cool ways. And God will use your life in so many cool ways. This is the Christian life. And it's the best ride on planet Earth. God's perfect will. Listen to these verses. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and okay will. Wait, no. Perfect will. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Are you wise? Are you living your life wise with wisdom? Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Understand what the Lord's will is. As you journey with us for the next 12 weeks, you're going to be radically blessed. You're going to see God move in your life. You're going to see God reveal Himself to you The Holy Spirit is going to work within the Holy Scriptures that you're going to be reading and studying. The Holy Spirit's going to be working within prayer. God's going to be working within circumstances and people as you draw closer to the Lord together. You're about to experience God in a very cool way over these next 12 weeks. Draw near to the Lord, and He'll draw near to you. There's some really bad stuff going on in the world. It might even get worse. You know where you need to be? As close to Jesus as you can possibly be. You got to get in close and get in tight. And the closer you hang out with the one who walked on water and the one who raises the dead, who heals the lame and the sick, the closer you can hang out with the one who was and who is to come, you're going to be fine. Your job's to get close. We're going to sing and close out with this really cool song called The Way. I love this song called The Way. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus rides in the car with you, and He knows where to go because He's smarter than you and He knows what He's doing. He's the way. Let's sing this song. If you haven't yet got this, please, please don't just watch from the sidelines. I double dog dare you to go get this. Triple dog dare you to go. Please start with your first quiet time tomorrow and read about how Jesus is the map of your life. That's your first quiet time tomorrow. It's $15. If you don't, I'll buy it. Just get it, please, right? We have the ISBN numbers. You just go on Amazon, you get this thing. You will not be disappointed. We're going to go on this journey together, and the fun part is we all do it together. We're going to be reading this together and studying it together and talking about it together, and we're all going to be drawing close to Jesus together. It's going to be good. Please listen to your pastor and do this. You're going to be radically blessed. Let's sing this song. Stand with us. You on your couch, get up from that couch. Come on, put down your coffee. Let's sing this song together. Join us.